You hear that piece of paper? I hold in my hand an update that came out earlier this month from Connecticut's Department of Education. And as I'm reading this from Commissioner Charlene Russell Tucker, it's in regards to how Bridgeport is doing. As you know, the state decided to not take over, but to partner with Bridgeport and really clean up Bridgeport Public Schools and what has been going on. We've had some issues with the Board of Ed. We've had issues with the former superintendent. There's been a lot of issues. And so in this last, not even full year yet, although we're coming up on a year when Dr. Carmela Levy-David stepped down from her job, you know, in the last year, there's been a lot of work done between both the state and the city of Bridgeport. And so I'm reading through this letter, right? And I get to the third paragraph where this stood out to me. She says, one of the clearest signs of progress in Bridgeport is the reduction in teacher vacancies. It says last fall, there were 120 openings, including 31 in special education. Upon the opening of school, that number is down to 41, with only 2 in special education. Wow. So joining us back on the show is Dr. Royce Avery, interim superintendent of schools in Bridgeport. Dr. Avery, what do you think about that data? I mean, that's pretty substantial in less than a year's time.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Thank you. Yes, that is a great step in the right direction for Bridgeport Public Schools, is to really make sure that we have the necessary, you know, teaching staff to work with our children. And so that's been a collaborative effort on behalf of the state, with the Board of Ed, my communications department, HR department, working with the unions. It's been really a great a collaborative effort to kind of get to where we are right now. So we're very excited about that.
I have to obviously ask this question, Dr. Avery, because first of all, I just want to know the facts, but also because I'm sure there's always, you know, pushback when you hear about, well, what's the catch here? Does that number have anything to do with teacher or special education cuts, personnel cuts?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a combination of a little bit of everything, though. I mean, when you look at, you know, the number of staffing that needs to serve the children of the district, you have to kind of prioritize. And yes, there were some cuts in positions, not only special ed, but regular ed as well. And so just trying to have that balance is really what we concentrate on. And then really looking at, you know, how do we attract, you know, individuals to come to Bridgeport? And there's a lot of people out in Connecticut and surrounding, you know, areas that really wants to help, you know, Bridgeport move forward, right? And so we really try to tap into those resources to try to figure out what is it going to take. And so just really being able to be very transparent with what we're doing, how we do it, and being very strategic, and not only working with the community, but working with our community around the universities and colleges around Connecticut as well, to really tap into the different programs that could best suit the needs of the district.
I was reading on the backside of this update, Dr. Avery, that there's a specific section talking about teacher recruitment and staffing efforts. It says required weekly staffing updates and set clear expectations for principals and central office leaders to take an active role in hiring, as well as introducing new recruitment tools such as CT REAP, R-E-A-P, and encouraging the expansion of outreach through social media and other recruitment platforms. What are you hearing from teachers in the district? I know one of the things I've heard in the past is that there are always concerns about conditions, you know, whether that's building conditions or the way that they are treated by students, families, you know, people in the district. But, you know, some of these things that are being talked about, first of all, it feels like it's consistent. It's constant for those who are already in the district or just starting there. But what is the feedback you're getting from teachers?
Well, I can tell you, you know, and as you already know, Melissa, teachers are the backbone of this district, and we have to do the things that's going to make sure they represent a large population of the individuals that we hire in the district. And so we have to be able to kind of have a voice and have them have a voice about what is happening and what's going on. And so sometimes, you know, we have to kind of respond quickly and aggressively to their needs. And so we have to be very, you know, strategic around that. So I think that's really been, you know, the motivator for us to really make this thing come together. And again, just the voice, I had a lot of time, you know, before the end of the school year last year, where I had a chance to visit with teachers, all types of teachers, about what's going on in the district and what their needs are. And we really capitalized on those wants as we started the recruiting process this summer. We rallied around administrators, making sure that a lot of them, you know, they were on vacation and they were still making phone calls to try to hire teachers. So that is a win-win for us. And so, again, like I said, a collaborative effort. And it's just, and it took everybody to get us where we are today. And I'm very, very appreciative and proud about that as well.
And again, we are hearing from Dr. Avery, who is the interim superintendent of schools in Bridgeport. I was also reading in this note from the commissioner that there have been efforts to speed up application processes. Could you talk at all about that, Dr. Avery? I mean, obviously, you know, when you hear that, people always get concerned, are we cutting corners? That doesn't seem to be the case. You know, when I've talked to education professionals in Connecticut, just in general, sometimes we really make people, especially who come out of retirement to go back to teaching, jump through hoops unnecessarily. Is that what they're talking about when they say speed up the application process?
Well, a lot of it is, so when we're doing interviews, you know, if you have a viable candidate right there on the spot you're interviewing, and you can go back and do your checks and balances with background checks and things like that, I've allowed, you know, administration to offer those positions right then and there. So when you talk about expediting, you know, the hiring process, that was one way that we were able to do that and work from there. But we took full advantage of the effort from the state. You know, there are state programs that let retirees come back and support teaching across Connecticut. So we took full advantage of those opportunities as well. Again, so you can't let, you know, a viable candidate slip away, right? So I wanted to make sure that if there's a decision needs to be made, we can offer something, we do our background checks and things, and then we can move forward with making sure that is a viable candidate for the district. So that's kind of the process when you talk about expediting things a little bit. So that's how we work that.
We're chatting with Interim Superintendent of Schools in Bridgeport. Dr. Royce Avery is here, and there was an update this month from Commissioner Charlene Russell Tucker. In fact, I'm going to link the entire report to our website, voiceofct.com, with Dr. Avery's podcast after the show. Dr. Avery, as I mentioned before, when the state decided to partner with Bridgeport earlier this year, we knew it wasn't going to just be with teachers and even with student support, instructional support, all of that. It was also going to look at the Board of Education, which needed to happen. And this letter does address things that they're doing with the board. It says they directed the BOE to undergo governance training with CABE, C-A-B-E, on budgeting, policy development, and roles and responsibilities. Do you have any insight into any of that?
Absolutely. I really want to applaud the board for their collaborations with the state and CABE in working through the training processes. Again, there was just a lot of areas that needed to be addressed. And so the state has given the board an opportunity to kind of, you know, chunk those areas to make sure that we get better in those areas as we look at all aspects of the district. And so you're talking about, you know, budgetary things, policies, things that really govern how this district is going to be ran in the future, and they wanted to equip the board in making sure those things were in place. And so that's really what has happened over the last couple of months, really making sure that they give them the necessary skill set to bring all those things in and to work with administration to make sure that we can move Bridgeport forward.
So I don't know, like, undergo governance training with CABE. What is CABE?
CABE is the organization from the state that supports school boards.
Got it.
And so the school board, you know, is that's their school board association.
Okay.
And they provide guidance in all aspects of governance with school districts across the state of Connecticut. And all our board members are members of CABE. They do a lot of on-site training with CABE. CABE comes to the district to provide training. They provide training for policies and, like I said, governance. And that's really step by step with the board and making sure that governance of this district is done in a way that's going to be meaningful for this community and for the advancement of this school district.
And Dr. Avery, it also mentions that it was an assistant superintendent for academics and curriculum and instruction, as well as an assistant superintendent for human capital. Those were added. I don't know who those people are. Are those current people on the board that then took on that role? Are these extra people that were brought in, or how long are they here? That part I wanted some clarity on.
What they did was assist in helping, you know, to get those individuals hired. Those two positions were vacant positions in the district.
We
just didn't hire at the time. So they were helping with, you know, interviews, going through applications, and making sure that we had the right individuals in those positions. So it wasn't a position that from the board side, it was to help fill the positions from the district side.
Got it.
And part of it was already, they were already part of the organizational chart, but it was just vacant positions.
Oh, how long? I mean, were you in one? I know you were an assistant superintendent prior when Dr. Carmela Levy David was in the superintendent chair. Were you one of those?
No, I was. No. I was a deputy superintendent.
I'm sorry. You know? Okay.
Yeah. How, I was a deputy
superintendent. How long were those two positions? Do you know how long those were vacant?
Probably a couple of months. Actually, you know,
okay.
we had individuals in the district backfilling, you know, the responsibilities along with myself and some other high level executive doing some of that work. So a lot of people were double doing positions that could help get us through the interview process, because usually it takes a long time to vet candidates. And that's usually the length of time that it usually takes. And then we had to go through the interview process with the board. The board also interviews as part of our policy, board members, the committees also interviews those individuals as well. So there's a long process that we have on hiring individuals, especially top level executives in the district.
I mean, those seem like really important roles to have backfilled. I'm not putting that on you, Dr. Avery, at all, but I mean, I'm glad
Absolutely.
That they were right. Yeah, I want to make sure you know.
Absolutely.
I'm certainly not putting that on you, but I mean those are. I mean, to know that those weren't filled, I think that's a big deal. I mean, especially assistant superintendent for academics, curriculum, and instruction.
Right.
That to me is a huge deal.
And that's what part of the technical assistance teams were here helping do. So they were also that sounding board for us as we were navigating through that time frame. So again, I'm just so fortunate to be able to have a great, you know, those three gentlemen that are here gives us an opportunity to really, you know, have that think opportunity to kind of make sure that we're not missing anything, right? And then they're working with the certification department and at the state level to make sure that we got the necessary credentials and things that we were looking for in those two positions. And so, I mean, I'm very happy to say that we have two great individuals that are leading the district now on the academic side and the HR side.
Yeah, and you need that.
Feel very, very confident that, you know, again, it's all about getting your leadership team developed, right? And we're solid now. We have, you know, a foundation that is very, very instrumental in helping me with the work. And I can tell you right now, my executive cabinet, they are rock stars. And I'm very, very appreciative of them because they've done a great job of supporting the work that I'm wanting to do and currently are doing. And so I'm just excited. It's great things are getting ready to happen for Bridgeport Public Schools, so I'm very excited about that.
Now, there was one thing not mentioned in this letter, and that was the search for a permanent superintendent. Now, I know, Dr. Avery, you are very interested in having this job permanently. Where are we at with that search? I know it was paused because there were a lot of other things, and obviously your leadership has been fantastic. But where do we know where we're at with now getting that search back on track?
Well, I think the biggest focus right now is getting through the election season. I think
we have
a couple more weeks before election comes out, and then I'm hoping that the commissioner will be able to kind of figure out once, you know, and then November 12th will be my 1 year tenure as the interim.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of, you know, additional things happening after the elections. And so my hope is that, you know, there will be some considerations on how we move forward with that search. And so I know, the board is very excited and willing to move forward with it. And I think, the commissioner will be too. So I will have those conversations as well as to go, where are we, you know, what's the next step? Again, it's, we have a very crucial, you know, board election coming up in November the 4th. We have five board members that are potentially might change. And so we got to be able to figure out and get, you know, the district leadership, you know, from the board side in order. And let's see what happens.
Fair. Fair. I understand that. And Dr. Avery makes a lot of sense. I always appreciate you giving us the time on WICC, and I want to remind folks that I am going to link the commissioner's full report to our website, voiceofct.com. When you access Dr. Avery's podcast, which we're going to post at the end of the show, you can also find that link there.